the Grace Hour, friends. Glad to be with you on this Wednesday morning edition of our broadcast. And if you're new to our broadcast, well, the Grace Hour helps you to develop your walk of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be talking about some practical ways in which you can do that. My name is Pastor John Love. I'm joined in the studio today by Pastor Barry Quirk. And we will be talking about how hurt people hurt other people. Interesting subject, but a lot of truth behind that. And we will hope to develop that, shed some light on this theme and subject, and of course invite you to join us during the broadcast today. The phone lines will be open during the entire broadcast, so at any time you feel led to join us, we would love to have you weigh in, participate, and add to the broadcast with your comments, your questions, your thoughts about our theme and subject matter today. Again, you can join us, quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and participate in the broadcast with us. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. And if you're listening to the broadcast today in the local Baltimore area, you can join us at 410-483-3700. And if you are, again, watching online in our many different platforms, such as Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher, just to name a few, well, you can weigh in on our chat. We'd love to hear what your thoughts are. You make your comments and send your questions to us there. So just to get things started, friends, you know, Jesus made a fascinating statement in Luke's Gospel, the 17th chapter. He was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "It is impossible that no offenses should come." Now, and again, we could use that word and interchange it with the word wounds or hurts. But people get offended. If you're alive, and I'm sure you are listening to the broadcast today, you're going to be offended at some point in your life. Now, the nature of that wound and that hurt and that offense, it may come from different people. It could come from someone's home, someone's family, some close friends. It can even happen in our churches. So keep that in mind, but remember, you will be offended. The question is, what will you do when you're offended? Because the choice you make once you're wounded, once you're offended, can determine your future. This is an interesting subject, Pastor Barry, because, again, it touches all of us. And, of course, we can get into it a little later in the broadcast, but from my perspective and seemingly from the perspective of the Scriptures, the only way out is forgiveness, and we can talk about that later.
Yeah. What an awesome thought. I mean, you know, it sounds kind of cliche to quote the verse, but as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, and people would say, well, you know, wounds are real, and you know, some pains and some conditions, you know, there really have been abuses or things that would determine how a man thinks. But what do we reckon in our heart to be important? And do we operate, if, as you said, it is impossible for offenses not to come. So when they come, what do we do with them?
Yeah.
How do we handle them? What do we live in?
That's so true. And, you know, if we allow the offense or the hurt or the wound to, you know, if we become obsessed with it, that's all we can think about, yes, as you said, and the proverb makes that very clear, we're in big trouble. But if we turn toward God, you know, because I think that there's two classifications of people. There are people that think they are wounded and hurt and offended and really aren't.
Yes.
And then there are those who fall into the category that really are and have been hurt, wounded, and offended.
Yeah.
And there's some biblical examples. We can talk about them a little later as well. But, you know, a lot of people that, that are functioning and living and are a part of a local church, they are unable to function in their calling, and because of the wounds and the hurts that others have caused in their lives. And, you know, the devil is behind this. It's not about people. It's about these spiritual principles. And this is what we have to keep our eyes on, because imagine if if it came down to somebody hurting me, wounding me, offending me, and I have to leave church and I can't fellowship anymore with believers because there's too much risk of being hurt and wounded again, and I haven't got over the last one, I couldn't handle another one, that's like saying, people control my life. But let's be honest about it. People don't control our lives. God does. So we have to turn to Him as our healer, as our helper, and someone who gives us the capacity to get beyond these hurts and wounds.
Yeah, amen. I mean, it's no mistake to me that in Numbers 21, when the definition is given, when the Israelites are in the wilderness and the serpents are biting at them their heels, that if they look at the wounds, they end up dying. But he instructed Moses to build a stake and a brazen serpent, and when they looked unto the deliverance, they were unto the serpent, they were delivered. You know, we look at the wounds, we look for the wounds. In some cases, I think people are not satisfied until they find something wrong. They need something to fellowship on, something to be preoccupied with. We've run into people like that, that their life is miserable unless they have misery to fellowship in.
It's true.
But what are they going to look unto for deliverance? How are we going to get out of it? And are we interested in getting out of it and having a walk that makes us accountable before God?
Yeah. I mean, some of these folks have been, you know, handicapped and hindered from really fulfilling their full potential. Mm-hmm. In other words, the wounds, the offenses can literally rob us of reaching our potential and our purpose for which God created us. And that is dangerous. Now, there's a passage in the Psalms, and I want to read this because I think it really hits home and helps to put everything in perspective. Now, this is a fascinating portion of Scripture. Psalm 55, beginning in verse 12, the psalmist said, "For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together. We walked into the house of God in company." That's the person who hurt me the most. I mean, if you asked a lawyer and say, "Listen, can you tell me what are the most, you know, you've probably seen, you know, people going at each other in a courtroom setting, and from your perspective," and I think if you asked any attorney that's dealt in this realm, they'd tell you that the most, you know, the most pain, the most heartache, comes out of, let's say, divorce court. Now, think about that. History, even history itself, has shown us that the most bloodiest of wars are civil wars.
Yes.
Brother against brother, son against father, father against son. You know, Satan is so actively involved in separating people and creating these wounds. And you know, there was a great book. I can't recall the author's name, but I know the title of the book. It was called The Bait of Satan. And he says that's what it is. It's these offenses. It's these wounds, these hurts. And the devil uses them in such an incredible way to divide people and to remove people from their calling, to take people out of their local churches, and to remove them from the very hope that God wants to bring them through the message of grace and forgiveness.
It's kind of like one of those radioactive seeds that they use in cancer treatment, that they set the seed in there and then it radiates throughout and deals with the issue. You know, what do we know about hurt people? Well, we know that they often transfer their inner anger onto family and close friends, you know. And you're right, if the devil has a plan, it's to make somebody unsettled, knowing that I can create a radioactive seed that's going to go in and affect others. And as we know, hurt, when it's fellowshipped in, can become something well beyond what it actually is. It can be destructive to not only the person that's hurt, but to those that are around them.
Yeah, it's incredible. The word offense comes from the word scandalon. And it refers to a part of the trap which the bait was attached. Hence, the word signifies lying a trap in someone's way. And again, who's behind that but the devil himself? Yes. And this is why I think that believers, I think sometimes young believers can come into a local assembly and they can be excited and motivated and, you know, hungry after the things of God. And then the offense comes, and they're bewildered, they're shocked, they're amazed. How could this possibly happen? And that can leave bitterness in their souls. And of course, when that happens, and instead of receiving grace for not only themselves, but for other people, they allow the bitterness to take root. And once you have a root of bitterness in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, not only does it trouble you, but many, that is everybody around you, is also defiled.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jeremiah 30, verse 12 says that the bruise is incurable and the wound is grievous. And I think as long as the focus is on the wound, then there's never an opportunity to see the deliverer. And that's what we're speaking about here, and how that hurt, that, you know, the title of the podcast today is Hurt People Hurt People. And there is a cycle that happens. You know, hurt people often interpret words spoken to them through the prism of their own pain. If they're preoccupied with something that's painful, then words that are spoken to them that aren't necessarily designed to be painful become painful. You know, you think about the wearing the rose-colored glasses, everything you see is rosy. You know, wearing the glim-colored glasses, everything you see is glim. And because of that, people become really sensitive, and they act out of pain instead of reality, and they have a hard time entering into a trusting relationship. So all of these things, as you just said, they start to become a vicious cycle. They start to be, they start to perpetuate themselves in other people when the preoccupation with pain is the very beginning of why that's all happening.
Yeah. You know, you've got to recognize when it happens, and it's not a question of if it will happen, as we said earlier, when it happens.
Yes.
But you've got to recognize that when it happens, you know, this is part of a spiritual conflict that involves all believers. So see it from that perspective, okay? This is spiritual warfare.
Yes.
It's not about people.
Yes.
I could easily identify the person that wounded me and hurt me, but that's not the issue. The issue is the wound has happened. Now what will I do?
Yeah.
What choices will I make?
Yeah.
And am I going to allow that person who hurt and wounded me and caused the offense, am I going to allow what they did to determine my future? Are they going to continue to trouble me, you know, long after the offense has happened?
Yeah.
And what's even more mind-boggling is that the person who wounded us, they may not even know that they did.
Yes. Yeah.
And to just to give you an example, and I know that this is a little bit of an over-the-top example, but yesterday I was watching a news program, and some of the folks that are listening today, you're familiar with the Parkland shootings that happened, the school shootings down in Florida a couple of years ago. Well, the young man who carried out those, you know, those terrible, terrible murders, I think 17 people were killed. You know, the family's victim statements were spoken to him. He's going to be in prison for the rest of his life. He did not get the death sentence, but he is going to, you know, I don't know, maybe several life long term, you know, he's never going to get out of prison.
Not going anywhere,
Not going anywhere.
Right.
But all of the, you know, family members, people came, and you could feel, not only hear it, but you could feel the anger, the bitterness, and understandably so.
Yes.
Okay. I perfectly understand it. But there wasn't a one of them that said, you know what, this is going to stop right now because I'm going to forgive you. And I'm not even going to do it for your sake. I'm going to do it for my sake.
Yes.
But you didn't hear that.
Yeah.
And you could just see the and some people, they just said, I'm going to enjoy how much you suffer in prison. But I mean, and again, I understand if I lost a loved one and that happened to a family member of mine, I would be overwhelmed. I'd have to deal with it myself.
Yeah.
Make no mistake about it.
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is the only way you can be delivered is through forgiveness.
Only way. It's the only way. Yeah. I mean, otherwise the bitterness that's in us is always going to be associated with somebody or something or some reason. And the only way for that bitterness to go away is for us to allow God to be God in the situation. You know, there's a couple questions that are kind of the overarching questions. As you said, there's no way to avoid the scandal of offense. And everyone is kind of broken and hurting in some way. And then the question is, why do people who have been hurt in the past inflict hurt on others? Well, they can't themselves forgive. They can't live in the forgiveness that has been given for them. And don't you think it actually even becomes almost like a pride? Like there's a proud spirit that comes in and that I cannot forgive. I will not forgive. I am owed something. So this bitterness just festers, and that festering becomes something that it's toxic.
Oh, no question about it. It's so damaging to the soul. The proverb, chapter 18, verse 19, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle.
Wow.
It's almost like the offended soul is harder to win than a fortified city. I mean, you know, you just imagine in your mind these strong cities with walls built around them, like a Jericho type of a stronghold. People might think, I need to build those walls so that what happened to me never happens again. You can build those walls, but remember something. You're building the walls of your own prison.
Mm.
It takes you captive,
okay?
You're not free to love. You're not free to forgive. You're not free to extend grace and mercy to others because you've built those walls. Mm. And now you're in a place where you are imprisoned because of that wound, that hurt, that offense.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I think 1 Thessalonians 5:23 speaks about healing, you know, and one of the things about being in that prison is that, you know, unless there's healing, unless there's a change that occurs, I can't see beyond those walls. I live in the effects of those walls. I live in the effects of that prison no matter what. You know, but 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, and the very God of peace, right? It starts out by saying, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's concerned with body. He's concerned with soul. He's concerned with spirit. All of those things being dealt with. And Pastor Love, don't you think that sometimes, like, you know, we did say the bruises of Adam are incurable. Things are going to happen to us. If I live in those wounds, I'm going to be troubled. Does God allow some things to happen to us so that they can come to the surface and we can allow him to deal with those things in a way that is going to prevent us from living in those castle walls with walls that we can't see over?
Yeah, absolutely. Otherwise, everything that's been deposited within our souls is just theory.
Right.
God wants it to be put in. In other words, we all know, you know, we read this or we've shared this story before about the gentleman who became an expert on the subject of forgiveness.
Mm.
And he wrote a book about it. Mm. He was, you know, everybody turned to him when it came to forgiveness. He was the expert.
Yeah.
And then he said that someone broke into his mother's home in a different part of the country and murdered her.
Oh my God.
And he said, and all of a sudden, myself, he said, the expert on forgiveness, he said, it was the last thing that I wanted to do.
Wow.
He said, if I had a baseball bat and I could have found the man who did that to my mother, he said it would have been the end of his life. So, I mean, now it's put to the test.
Yes.
Of course, God is going to allow these situations and circumstances to develop our souls, to make us, in essence, to be more like Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was my thought on it, Romans 8:29, that, we're called to be conformed to the image of Christ. And he doesn't do that just with a Bible study, prayer, good times, but sometimes painful situations where we have to literally face things that have been going on in the inside with only the deliverance that he can provide us.
Yeah, and that deliverance is beautiful. Think about Joseph. What a classic illustration he is, okay? He falls into the category of someone who was really offended,
absolutely,
hurt,
yeah,
and wounded.
Sure. Okay?
There's no mistake about that.
Yeah.
His brothers plotting against him, hating him, plotting to kill him
yeah.
until one of them came to his senses and said, listen, you're talking about killing your own brother.
Blood of your blood and flesh of your flesh.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Can't we come up with a more humane plan? Mm. And so they said, yeah, we'll throw him into a pit until we can. And that's when they sold him into slavery, into Egypt. Mm. And then we know the story. I mean, this is someone whose story could have been completely different.
Wow.
Filled with bitterness, filled with resentment, waiting for the day to get even with his brothers. Mm. But that's not how the story unfolds.
Mm.
It unfolds in a very profound way, and we read about it in the book of Genesis. It unfolds in such a way that God is glorified. Forgiveness is extended to his brothers.
Yes.
Joseph even says to them, what you did was evil, but God has taken it and turned it into that which is good, so that many people can be saved. It all worked together in the glorious plan that God had, before the world began. I mean,
yes.
It's incredible, but it could have been completely different. Joseph turned to God when he was wounded.
Yes.
And what an outcome there was.
What an outcome. And do you think Joseph still felt pain along the way?
Oh, my. Absolutely.
Do you think it still was, heartbreaking for him to look at his brethren and say, these are the ones who I love? And
well, didn't he weep?
He wept.
Uncontrollably?
He wept. He did. Yeah. So we have a concept that we just are automatically, and I think that was a great illustration about the man who wrote the book on forgiveness, that we have a concept about how things will go and how expert we are until the rubber hits the road, and then we're challenged in it. And then the opposite side of that is we could say, well, if you experience pain or trouble in the midst of these circumstances, then you're not seeing the full deliverance of God. No, I think God gave a really gracious response to Joseph. I don't think there could be anything more gracious. And of course he was troubled and pained by it, but he was willing to let the deliverance of the Lord weigh heavier than the disappointment of his brethren.
Yeah. I mean, it really does come down to that. You come to that fork in the road and you have that choice to make. Mm-hmm. He made the right choice. So often we as believers can make the wrong choice. And the only way to get back on track and not allow our futures to be really ruined is to say, listen, I have allowed this hurt, this wound to defile not just myself, but I have defiled others. Because others might come to you and they might respond to you by saying, I cannot believe they did that to you.
Yes.
And our response should be, hey, that's not the issue. That's not the issue. And I don't want you to think about it that way.
Yeah.
I'm trusting God. I believe that God allowed it to happen. And anything that comes into my life has to first pass through God's gracious hands.
Yes.
If he allowed it, I need it. I'm going to use it to develop my soul and to make me more like Christ.
Mm.
What a response. That would stop the perpetual hurting and wounding in the lives of others if we took that approach.
Absolutely. And I think, you could look at Job's three friends that spoke. They spoke truth, but they spoke out of line. It wasn't God's heart for the situation. And who do I surround myself with? Do I surround myself with people that go, wow, that's wrong. You got hurt. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. We don't know, honestly, we don't know God's mind in allowing things to happen in us other than we're conformed to his image. We have an answer. We can express a greater degree of glory when we're in a situation that requires us to live above our wounds and our struggles. And the perpetual cycle that happens as a result of, having those flames fanned by a friend or somebody who doesn't understand what God's doing in this situation. It's one of the reasons we have to be objective in who we surround ourselves with. Are we around people that help us to think spiritually, or are we around people that are going to fan the flames of that?
I think that's the answer right there. To be carnally minded, which is the approach that sometimes we take when we're hurt, is death.
It's death.
But to be spiritually minded, in Romans, the 8th chapter, that's life and peace.
Absolutely.
I mean, if I have a choice between death and life and peace, I think we all know which choice is the best.
Every day of the week.
Yeah.
Every day of the week.
Well, friends, you can join us at any time. Just pick up the phone, dial one of these numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060. The local number, 410-483-3700. Hani Pinkova has reached out to us from Greensburg, Pennsylvania. She says, pray for me. I've been in the hospital for a mini stroke. The plan is to get me into a rehabilitation hospital. Well, Father, we pray for Hane that you would just heal her body, Lord. And if she needs to go into this rehab hospital, we pray that you'd open those doors. And we pray that you would restore her completely to good health. And we ask that in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yes,
and
Lord.
Brian says, when you don't forgive, you create your own prison. Well said, Brian. And we just hope that many of you listening today are can identify with what we're talking about. Because, again, we're not talking about it from the perspective like, hey, you know, you've been hurt. You need to get over it. No. What we're saying is that this will happen. Jesus, again, to go back to his statement, it's impossible that anybody is going to get through life without being offended. So we understand that. The question is, what's our response? Because one option, Pastor Barry, is to blame others. Find a scapegoat. There's got to be a reason why I'm hurting as bad as I'm hurting. So we look for a scapegoat, not realizing that we already have one. It's Christ. He's our scapegoat.
Absolutely.
And if we don't turn to him, I don't think that the healing is going to come and the help for our soul. Because if you turn and you start to blame, it doesn't help anybody. You know, you hear it all the time. If it wasn't for my wife, I'd be, and then they fill in the blank. Or if it wasn't for my parents, I would have had a normal life. I would have grown up and I'd have been whole and healthy. If I wasn't, you know, in this church or in this ministry, if it wasn't for that pastor, I would have been able to express my gifts. And come on.
Yeah.
I mean, this happens all the time.
All the time. Keep focusing on the wounds. Keep focusing on if, and, you know, instead of how easily is it to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You know, and we could have an attitude that says, you know, I'm a victim of and by the way, we want to be clear that there are people who have been damaged because of heinous acts that have happened to them. And we're not in any way, shape, or form minimizing that. You know, the alcoholic parent who mistreats their child, or somebody who unfortunately has been abused physically or sexually or any other way, there are pains and there are things that are going on in those people's souls that are heinous, you know. The deliverance of God is available for those people. And again, you hit the nail on the head earlier by saying, am I willing to forgive? You know, am I going to point at why it happened? Well, that's helpful to a point to identify why what's happening is happening to me. But once you've figured that out, is there going to be a perpetual fellowship in the evil intent of that? Or is there going to be a looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, the only one who can truly deliver me, and the one who gives me the motivation to forgive as I am forgiven of him?
Yeah. I mean, it's that principle in Ephesians 4:32, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. And right there, somebody could say, hey, that's a pretty tall order.
Of course, yeah.
But the rest of the verse says, even as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you.
Yes.
In other words, he did it for you first.
Yes. Yes.
Therefore, he creates a capacity within your soul to forgive others.
Yeah.
I mean, what did God forgive us of? Well, come on. We don't have, we'd need 100,000 programs to make a list of all of the things that God has forgiven us of.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whatever it is that they've done to us cannot be greater than what we have done to God. Yeah. And here's the point too, that if you can't stop looking at what they did to you and focus upon what Christ did for you, you're in big trouble.
Huge trouble. And let's face it, horrendous things happen to good people, in a sense. In the other sense, who is good among us? You know, our goodness comes from the righteousness that we have in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says something really beautiful. It says, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Like, we can grow in our relationship with God personally and be used by God to be a comfort to those that need it as well. And does God allow us to go through situations so that we can learn something about a relationship that's going to help deliver somebody else?
Amen. Beautifully said. And the Apostle Paul realized why he went through what he went through. It was not only for his sake, because it was, but it was for others.
Absolutely.
If we could see that, you know, if we could understand that I will go through this and God will do a work in my heart, absolutely, make no mistake about it, but I'm also going through it for the sake of others because someone will need to be comforted, someone will need help, someone will be looking for hope, and I'll be able to provide it based upon the experiences that I've gone through.
Yeah. You know, we've all dealt with, I'm just thinking about experiences I've had along the way and you know, living overseas and just being involved in different places. You know, like there are disagreements that happen. There are pains. There are injustices, if you want to call them that, things that happen. And they could become the center focal point of our fellowship. And they could end up being so all-consuming that we can never get to the point where we're able to be delivered because we're so occupied with ourselves. We're looking at our wounds. We're looking at the... No, that doesn't mean that what happened was okay, but is it possible that God allowed that thing to happen so that I could see that deliverance that we were just talking about? One of the beautiful things about being on the mission field and not totally understanding the language and where people are at and what's happened before you got there is you're blissfully ignorant about things. And I remember having an outreach to a place and inviting everybody and all these people into the room, and somebody said, did you know that that person had aught with that person and that person's had aught when they haven't gotten together in all this time? And I said, no, I didn't realize any of that. I just thought, you know what? Life is too short to be consumed with all the wrongdoings. Let's be occupied with Christ together, and let's let God do a new thing in us. And I guess that brings us to the last question I have, which is, you know, how do we break the cycle of hurt that happens in churches when people have been hurt and that's perpetuated itself and it becomes a thing? How do we stop that? How do we get out of that?
I remember a brother came to me once and said, I know I'm not functioning any longer in the will of God, and it's because of what so-and-so did to me.
Wow.
Well, again, no one, let me say it again with emphasis, no one can take you out of the will of God.
That's right.
Because God holds your future and your destiny, not a person. I mean, again, we've stated it and we've repeated it throughout the broadcast, but we understand some of the things that have happened to people, and we understand the pain that's been inflicted upon them. But again, you can't get stuck there. We've also seen other people who have experienced the same thing be delivered from it, move on in life. Yeah. God has blessed them. Their lives are full and rich,
yes,
and they've experienced the abundant life that Jesus promised them. And you look at them and you say, wait a minute, the same thing happened to both of them. Mm. Why is one filled with joy, hope, you know, living in a very prosperous way spiritually, and the other one is stuck and cannot go on and is consumed with what has happened to them?
Yeah.
It's all about making that choice and making that decision. I've got to move on. I cannot allow people to control my life because they don't have that right.
That's
don't
right.
give them that right.
Right. That's
don't give them
right.
that right.
Yeah, I'm not giving somebody authority in my life to Now, we think about this, and sometimes we think, oh, if we have a little problem, that's easy to overcome. But if I have a big problem, that's going to be more difficult to overcome. Well, sure, if you think in human reasoning. But we're talking about an all-powerful, eternal God who has conquered death, right? He's conquered sin and death. There's nothing that would be greater than that. So is he able to take a person with a huge problem and be a huge provision for that huge problem? Absolutely. He is able to fit that problem above and beyond all that we could ask or think. The more that he pours in, we can't even keep up with the grace of God for those situations.
Yeah, we've heard it for years in this ministry, even on this radio broadcast, the Grace Hour. There isn't anything that you will go through in life for which God does not have a provision of grace for.
Absolutely.
There is sufficient grace for every single need in our lives. And we should ask ourselves this question. Genesis 18:14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there any wound so great that he doesn't have a provision to get beyond it? Like Corrie Ten Boom once said, you know, there is no pit so deep that God is not deeper still.
Wow.
And we know the answer to that. Of course there is a provision from God, but we've got to turn to him. It's not about, you know, self-healing. It's not about taking these matters into, it's just a matter of turning to God and saying, this will kill me spiritually, emotionally, mentally.
Yes.
And maybe even ultimately physically.
Yes.
If I don't turn to you, Lord. So with what little capacity I have, I turn to you. I'm looking to you. Heal me, help me, deliver me, set me free, even give me the capacity to forgive others. I need to move on.
Yeah, and maybe that's a mistake that people make, that they make this mistake that I shouldn't be feeling this if I have God. No, actually, the fact that we are weak and frail in our flesh, we need to know all the more that we need to turn to God, like that he is the great deliverer. It doesn't prevent us from having difficulties. We have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He has been touched just as we are. Yet he's remained perfect. He is able to go above and beyond all that we could ask or think.
Amen. Our good friend Dominic de Piazza says, dear pastors, I have a question. How would you answer a mature Christian that has been wounded in the past and says, I have forgiven, but I have not forgotten. I'm searching the wisdom of God to reach this brother who is a friend. I can sense that the hand of God is not on him since he has adopted this attitude. Good question. You hear that a lot. But I think what has to happen in our lives, it does have to start with forgiveness.
Yep.
And if we make the decision to forgive, then God will help us to forget.
Yes.
I think what happens is we forgive because as believers, we are told to do that.
Yes.
We might not feel like doing
it.
Right. We may not even want to do it.
Yeah.
But we're going to be obedient to the objective truth of what God has said to us.
Yes.
So we forgive. And then we see that person. What has to happen in our soul is that we have to say, I have forgiven that person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you might keep seeing that person. Well, you have to keep reminding yourself, I have forgiven that person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to wait upon God who gives you the capacity to forget it.
Mm-hmm.
If you try to forget it before you forgive it, it's never going to happen.
Not possible.
But if you start with forgiveness, even if you don't feel like it, I want to say that again.
Yes.
Because so often you don't.
No.
But that's where you start. And then, well, Joseph actually named one of his sons. He had two sons, Manasseh, Ephraim, and one of their names actually meant, God has caused me to forget.
Wow. That's beautiful.
I mean, this is after he forgave his brothers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And then he names his son. And I think it was Joseph's way of saying, every time I see that boy, I'm reminded I have forgiven and God is helping me to forget.
Absolutely. Forgiveness is an act of faith. And, you know, those that seek him diligently are rewarded for that. And I think, you know, Ephesians chapter 4, I think it's verse 31 and 32, say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us along with malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So, you know, can we forgive and not forget? Absolutely. But if we forgive as an act of faith, and thank God that he's given us such short-term memories when we give things to him. You give something away. I don't spend the rest of my time at home thinking about, I sure wish I had that thing I gave away. You know, after a short period of giving away, I forget I even had it, right? But you have to give it away. If you haven't given it away, then you're going to remember it. And when I give it to God, am I giving it to God because I want to co-labor with him in the process? Well, forget it. You're not capable. There's only one of us in this equation that has the power to forgive, and that's Christ. But I can agree with him, and I can let him touch me, and I can forgive. But God will help us with the forgetting part,
yeah,
if we allow him to have.
You're right. He is the one. He wrote the book on forgiveness.
Absolutely.
He is forgiveness.
He's the definition of it, right?
He really is. Because can you imagine as the psalmist said, God, if you should mark iniquity, you keep a running tab of our sins, who could stand before you? I mean, we're going to not only do we have access to the throne of grace, but someday we are actually going to stand in the presence of God. That could never happen without the cross. Mm. That would never happen without the shed blood of Christ. That would never happen without God's forgiveness. Mm. And again, he did that for us. Keep your eyes on the cross, and you will be able to be healed, and you will not be a person who will have a testimony like this. Well, I've been hurt. That's why I hurt other people. You will say, yes, I was hurt like everybody is, but I've been healed. Mm. I've been made whole because of the forgiveness that God has.
Yes.
And the blood of Christ and what it's done in my life.
Yeah. That's what I love about this whole subject, is that we're not telling you there's a nice little neat formula that you can enter into and this will all go away. We're saying we have a high priest who has felt the pain and the suffering just as we feel it when it happens, but he actually had a provision for it. And in our flesh, we don't have a provision for it. In our goodwill, we don't have a provision for it. But we can literally give it to God. We can cast our cares upon him, for he cares for us.
Yeah, and always remember that those wounds, they come from the ones that are closest to us, family members, close friends, people we sit in church with. And like the psalmist said, he goes, if it was a stranger, I could have just hid myself from him.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But ask any counselor, you know, when someone is sitting in that counseling room and pouring out their heart, he's not saying to the counselor, some perfect stranger that I never met ever in my life really hurt me and wounded me. No. It's a person I trusted. It's a person I
friendly
loved.
Friendly fire.
It was friendly fire.
Friendly fire.
Just shocking.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, let's take George's question while we have a few minutes left in the broadcast. George, welcome to the Grace Hour.
Thank you, Pastor Love, Pastor Barry. Beautiful thoughts.
Thank you, sir.
But you're welcome. Yeah, what I was thinking of so much is that, you know, when we get hurt, the most important place for us to go is to our prayer closet. Mm. And just open up the Word, get on our knees, and just have some time alone with God, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we need to stop and just listen, you know? And it's like, it's real, you know? You get hurt, and sometimes people unintentionally hurt us at times, you know? Mm-hmm. They don't mean to hurt us, you know what I'm saying? But they say things, and they don't even realize, hey, what you said isn't so hot, you know?
Yes.
And that's when we need to, like, we always need to have forgiveness in our heart for people. You know, the church is a hospital for sinners, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and when you look at the body of Christ, let's say our ministry, the body of Christ, everyone is in there is at different parts of their walk with the Lord, too. You know, like, you know, we're all one body and we're all unified in Christ and we all love one another through the Lord. But it's like, you know, we're at different levels with God. You know, someone who's new in a church, someone who's been in the church 30 years, someone who's been in the church 20 years. And sometimes things can be said that never are intended to hurt, but they do, you know. Mm. And the most important thing to do is when we do something, and if someone mentions something to us that, hey, that hurt me, then ask that person for forgiveness. Just say, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that like that, you know. Yeah. Just nip it in the bud. Nip it right in the bud.
Yeah, that's the best time to do it. And, and if we just, you know, I go back to the illustration of Joseph. Joseph could have spent, after he was sent as a slave into Egypt, he could have spent the rest of his life plotting to kill his brothers.
Yeah.
And I mean, that could have been his complete obsession, but it wasn't. Mm. It wasn't. Mm. Because what do we keep reading in his story? And the Lord was with Joseph. Mm. And the Lord must have been ministering to Joseph, speaking to Joseph. And Joseph is drawing near to God. We can make that conclusion based upon how often that passage or those words are spoken in Joseph's story. But again, it was a 17-year journey, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't have that much time to reflect upon it, but we have time enough to turn to God, as you said, George. That's what we have to do because, again, it's going to happen. So let's prepare our hearts for what's inevitable. Wounds will come. Jesus said it's impossible that you're going to make it through life without being hurt and wounded, so prepare yourself.
Yeah, amen. And if you're going to turn to someplace, turn to God, the only one who sensed what it's like to have been offended in a way that wasn't just, but gave us justice as a result of it.
Yeah, amen. George, thanks.
That's beautiful. And just one last comment, gentlemen, is, you know, to me, in the body of Christ, we're members in particular, and there is no place holding a grudge.
Yep.
That is not biblical.
Yeah.
It's not biblical to hold a grudge.
You hold the grudge, you build those bars or walls of contention, and you find yourself imprisoned.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, George.
You're welcome. Love you.
God bless you. Bernice, we have time. Just a couple of minutes left. I know you have a question. Go right ahead. Hi, Bernice. Can
Hello.
You hear us?
Hey. Yeah, I can. I was enjoying the program so very much. I think I've experienced everything you said.
I think we all have.
Yeah, yes, indeed. But, you know, when I was first saved, I didn't think it would be like that. I thought I would do nothing wrong or say nothing wrong, but I found out I was wrong. and I saw where it said, keep your eyes on Jesus. I think you quoted that scripture, who is the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He didn't say keep your eyes on people because they have flaws just like I do.
Yes.
I think God helped me to realize that. Mm. But like you said, when it comes time to forgive, you procrastinate and go round and round. But it feel like something lifts off of you when you forgive. Mm. I've always thought as much as, you know, the things God has forgiven me, who am I not to forgive another person who is imperfect, even though they save as I am?
Yeah, yeah.
And the next one I read, I'm going to say this, that my question is when he saw the Lord hand lifted up?
Yes.
I think that was it. And he said, woe is me. He started with himself first.
Exactly.
And he dwells, yeah, and that holds me too also. I was sharing that with
Bernice, have you ever said these words? I know I have. You know, when God says, well, you need to forgive them. And I say, but they don't deserve to be forgiven.
Mm.
And that's. That just sends a stake through my heart because I fall into that category. I don't deserve to be forgiven, but that's exactly what God has given us.
I don't think I did fall into that category. I don't think I knew enough about God to fall into it, but I knew he had forgiven me.
Yeah.
I did know that.
Yeah.
And I thought it would be so easy. Oh, yeah, I can forgive. You know. Do it. But when time to do it, just like you said, you procrastinate, and your best thing to do is just go ahead on and do what God say do.
Amen.
But I did that. But what I wanted to ask, I'm thinking about, we're studying about the history of Israel. What I know the Bible said in Ephesians, the Gentiles who were without God and without Christ in the world, what happened to the Gentiles in the Old Testament? They believed on the God of Israel, but Christ hadn't came at that time before.
Yeah, one of the reasons why God created from Abraham the nation of Israel was to testify to the rest of the Gentile world as to the unity of God in the midst of all of that idolatry that existed at that time. So he did use Israel as an evangelistic tool, if you will, to reach Gentile nations. And that's right. Yeah, Gentiles would come to know God through the testimony of God's people, Israel.
Mm-hmm. Same way, like if we just say other people come to know by our testimony.
Exactly.
Right. Well, what was the Gentiles doing before Christ came? I think the Jewish people were waiting on his coming too.
Sure. Well, again, what we do understand is that salvation, which obviously comes and is originated with God, is designed for all people. So God would just simply raise up the nation of Israel through Abraham, and through that nation and through those people, they would be the testimony of God in the world. So again, they would come to know God by, let me give you an illustration. Rahab, she's a Gentile. She's in the city of Jericho. But she sees what God is doing through to the people of Israel, how he is going to give the land to the people of Israel, her city, Jericho, to the people of Israel. She believes in their God. Now, everybody else, as far as we know, did not believe in their God, the God of Israel. They perished, but not Rahab and her family. Because she believed, she was saved. So it was on the basis of faith, just like you and I are saved on the basis of faith. It was so in the Old Testament, it's so today, and it will be that way in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. I thought about Rahab, but I also thought about Rahab that was before Christ came, and she still needed the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's beautiful. I thought about it, and you said they perished if they didn't hear of the, oh, my Lord.
If they didn't believe, yeah. And they had a chance to. I mean, it wasn't that Rahab was a better person. We're well aware of her background. We know her name is repeated in the scriptures as Rahab, not the stunning saint, but Rahab the harlot. So, again, God couldn't save anybody, and through the cross today, we have the unlimited atonement, which is that Christ died not just for our sins, referring to believers, but for the sins of the whole world.
Right. I always believed in God, but I was not saved. And I thank God that he didn't pass by me. He's saved. But I always believed that, you know, when the scripture that said he would send, well, he said, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit, something to convict the world of sin. Isn't that talking about unsaved people?
That's correct. That's the one sin that the Holy Spirit convicts them of, unbelief. Hey, we have to go. We're out of time, Bernice, but great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Okay, I really enjoyed you.
God bless you. Pastor Barry, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for joining.
We went a little long today, but
that's okay.
We apologize, but hope you've enjoyed the broadcast. We'll be back tomorrow for the next live Grace Hour broadcast. Friends, join us then.